Right now, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com. And let's see if they're behind door number one.
Well, I'm behind door number one.
Yeah, I'm...
Are you in the same?
I'm on my way.
Are you in the same location, or are you split again?
Oh, we're split. He's on his way to Miami. He's on his way to Miami.
Miami.
Anyway, why not? Why not? Why not? Is it? There's worse places you could be on your way to than Miami.
Absolutely.
Well, especially when it's as cold as it is there. We're people are complaining here because it's 53 right now. And only going to go up to 65. So, but you know, if you're from the north and you come down here this time of the year, that's beach weather. So,
well, you're not lying. I used to go down to the month to West Palm Beach for the month of April each year, back when I was an employee and not run my own company. And I'd be there for 25 to 28 days. And when I would get down there, if it got down, and I was golfing every day in the morning and in the afternoon. But I'd go out in the morning, and if it was anywhere under 60 degrees when I went down there, people had gloves on, they had winter jackets on, and there I was at my Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, that's one of funny things. One of the funny things about living down here, if you decide that you're going to go down to the beach and you live here, you see people in this type of weather in just bathing suits. But, you know, when you're from up north at this time of the year, it's summer down here for them. So.
That's exactly right.
Well, and also the nice thing is that down here, even though it's 55, it's still blue skies, very sunny. It's, you know, so it's that kind of, that tempers it a little bit too, because if you're in the sun, it's not bad.
And there's also this, I get the smell from the ocean. It's just a different type of, the minute you get out, and I used to travel down to West Palm Beach when I'd open the door, and it would be like, yes, I don't have to worry about the weather for a while.
Yeah. There is something magical about living down here, I will admit.
Right. As my friends up here call it, the God's waiting room. Okay.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But hey, there's nothing wrong with being in God's waiting room instead of being in God's freezer.
Well, I don't know which one keeps you longer, the freezer. But anyway, that's for another conversation.
All right. So now, Tim. So where are you going today?
So I am on a mission for, it's a long day. We're doing an update to an insurance appraisal. And this is what is really important to a lot of clients is, especially down here in Florida, Art Basel was here in December. And of course, it's a big art show, and a number of our clients go there and purchase new works of art or works of art that they, from an artist that they like. So this particular client, we've already done the insurance appraisal. We finished that probably about a year ago. And now, of course, he's added several things. And we're going to his office, where he also has some other artwork that we haven't added to the insurance appraisal. So it's something that clients really need to be aware of, is that, yeah, you may have it, but once it's done, they forget about it. So what we're going to do is do an update to his current artwork, and then also add these new items. So we'll look over what we did last year, see how the markets have changed, because we're in a time period where the markets really fluctuate a lot faster, where when we started doing this, it was, update your appraisal every 5 to 7 years. Now we're looking at it every 2 to 3 years, just because of the changes in the marketplace and where people are spending their money.
Yeah, I think that the direction will continue to go down. The more we have technology, the more things are fluid on the value, and the more I bet you'll be down to every year with most of your clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I think that's a very good point. That's a very good point. I like the use of the word fluid because it really is a very fluid circumstance, especially the way the markets are fluctuating literally day by day in a lot of the cases. So, you know, we can't be comfortable with just giving a pat answer saying, oh, well, you should have it, you should check it every 5 years. Well, you know, things are so immediate now that it's really important to stay on top of it. So
I would think, and Tim, maybe you can correct me here, that you're kind of like stock market advisors. I mean, there's people that are going to be in it for huge amounts of money for the long haul. They're on the long haul. But nowadays, correct me if I'm wrong, but as someone who just observes, I think there's more and more people that are in it. They're younger people. They want to get rid of stuff. They don't want to hold on to it.
Correct. And we are a lot like stockbroker advisors. Part of what Gorgeons does and what Greg and I have been doing for years is art advising or advising on collections and what they should look for, where the market is. And we look back at the historical aspects. And of course, the future, you know, trying to do futures, that's very difficult to predict. And that's where we also talk to them about, do you love this? Because if it tanks, you're stuck with it. So you better love it.
But you see, that's one of our philosophies. One of our biggest philosophies is collect what you like. You don't collect it because you're using it as a commodity. That's not what collecting is about. It's the hunt and the thrill of having something that is the best of the best that you can afford having. And the fact that it's possible that it could commodify, if that's really a word, become a commodity over the years, that's only gravy. That's not the reason for people to collect, unless you're at such a high income level that you buy and sell and trade the art as a commodity. But you know, that's such a minute amount of collectors. So, but the values of these collections, they go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. And we always say, first and foremost, collect what you like. And if you're trading up, trade for the best you can afford at the time and see what happens. But don't count on it to increase.
Now, is my opinion that I would think that very wealthy people, extremely wealthy people that are in this for the long haul, and they're collectors, but they also are investors in art. I would think that the psychological and the breakdown of younger people coming into the market is much different than what's been in the market for the past 25, 30 years. Are they more stable or are they more volatile?
That's a good question.
From my perspective, the interesting thing is that you have older collectors there's only a couple of things that they need to add to their collection. So they have purchased everything that they are interested in or not really chasing. Then you have the middle that would be maybe, I don't know, 40 years old to 60 years old, that are building collections, hoping for the older collections to come on the market and looking for things. Anyone under 40, that's where we see the most change, is that a lot of the collectors coming into the market, they may look for one or two interesting items, but they're not looking to amass collections. They're looking to amass experiences. And until the auction houses can, and some of them look at the going to auction as an experience, but until the auction houses capitalize more on, hey, this is an experience to add this to your collection, and look, the younger generation is not really looking at, oh, this is a status thing. I'd rather travel and have these other experiences as opposed to stuff. And that's, I think, what we're going to see more and more of as we move forward in this decade, is the changes. And look, the great stuff will always sell well. There will always be collectors for that. But there's a lot of other stuff that's out there. And that's where we're getting that fluidity in the marketplace with collections and collecting. And I don't care if you're talking about Pez dispensers or Picasso. It's the same kind of thing in all those different areas, is that you're just seeing that a lot of people are not saying, oh, I need to have these big collections now, where 20, 30 years ago, we would walk into a house and there would be a collection of teacups. There'd be a collection of porcelain. There'd be a collection of silver. There would be all these different figurines or different things that they are looking for, or occupied Japan figures. Today, it's not that same thing. And a lot of that stuff is going to thrift stores now. And yeah, people are buying it, but what used to be $10 and $20, $30, you're now looking at $10 and $20, 30 cents. And that's the difference in what's going on in the marketplace. And you can see that amongst a lot of different collecting areas.
All right, now I'm going to change. We only have about a minute or two left, and I'm going to change. And I want to give the Silver Chef a plug here to talk about his website. Yay. And his podcast and everything like that. So, Mr. Silver Chef, how's the progress coming?
Well, today we're going to be Cynthia and I, Cynthia Malone, who lives in Kansas City. She's my co-host for the podcast, Perfectly Seasoned. And we're going to tape our first podcast today, and it'll be up online on after our show next week, as a matter of fact. On the 28th. And it's going very well. The website is very fluid. It's changing day to day. I'm adding new things, recipes, some terrific links that I have researched for information, culinary information, for health information, for just interesting articles by foodies. And it's going to continually change. And it's been, wow, I'm on my fourth cup of coffee this morning. I've been up since six. So I'm like wired beyond belief, because every day has been busy and exciting.
And it's a new challenge.
It's a new challenge for me. And like I said before, I jokingly said that I turned 70 and this is my third act. Well, let me tell you something. The curtain raised with a vengeance, because I am busier now than I've ever been.
All right. And what is the website address for people?
The website is thesilverchef.net. So it's www.thesilverchef.net. And you can you'll be able to get the podcast on the podcast tab on the website, or you can friend me on The Silver Chef on Facebook. I have my own Facebook page now, and I guess I went kicking and screaming. I actually am learning how to use Twitter. I am not thrilled, but I got to do what I got to do.
All right.
So,
thesilverchef.net, and also The Silver Chef on Facebook.
Facebook, that's correct.
All right, guys. Well, Google it now. TQAG.com for Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. And we'll speak to you.
Hey, we're not half-baked.
That's right.
Yeah.
I will speak to you guys next week.
Have a good week.
Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and I, with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.